for a lot of home chefs, cooking for a big group can be intimidating. There's deciding on your main dish and then what drinks and appetizers to pair it with.
Not to mention figuring out how to actually make the meal that usually feeds your family of four for 20 or 30 people. Well, that's where our next guest comes in. She's got some great advice for feeding a lot of mouths at once and building some community in the process.
Leslie Jonath is the founder and creative director of the content company Connected Dots Media. She's worked on many cookbooks and was the editor of Feed Your People, Big Batch, Big Hearted Cooking, and Recipes to Gather Around. Leslie, welcome to Central Time.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm excited about this because I love cooking for a big group of people. And it seems like a lot of the themes in this book about community and food are really embodied in a project called the 18 Reasons Community Dinner in San Francisco. So let's start with you telling us a little bit about that project.
Well, 18 Reasons is a beloved nonprofit in San Francisco that hosts community dinners and also has a wonderful Cooking Matters program. They are very well known for being a wonderful cooking school, and they host many different kinds of cultural foods from around with local cooking teachers.
And go ahead.
No, and I actually met them because in San Francisco, I attended one of their community dinners, and it was just so wonderful to meet everybody and to be so welcome into that world.
And the director of 18 Reasons wrote an intro in your book, and in that she claimed that cooking helps us reclaim control of our lives. Do you think there's something to that, that we've kind of become disconnected from cooking and we can kind of take some control back?
Well, cooking is actually a great pleasure when it's done with a kind of relaxation and in community. And so I think that, yes, cooking together is something that people often think of as a chore when it can be something that brings us together.
One of the things I really love about the book is that you have recipes from chefs that are specifically big batch recipes for parties and group events. And I'm sure that, you know, while chefs are often putting out one plate or two at a time, there is that, you know, that idea of scaling up because you don't want to run out of a particular dish. Why did you want a cookbook focused on cooking for large groups of people and not just something like weeknight dinner options?
Well, actually, I like to cook more for big groups of people than I like to cook for weeknight. It's just something that's specific to me. I think it's just because I like that sense of collaboration and community. But as a long-term cookbook editor, I was surprised to see that there weren't that many books out that were about feeding 10 to 20 to 30 people. And if you need instruction, that's the time when you need it. Most people think that you can just double a recipe and that it will work. And in some cases, many cases, that's true. But there's all kinds of issues around equipment and timing that having the kind of tips and instructions is incredibly helpful for home cooks.
And I'm wondering, too, Leslie, when we think about cooking for a large group, you know, we might be thinking about quality, or we might be thinking about quantity, but does that mean we have to sacrifice quality in the process?
It doesn't. I think that one of the reasons I chose to work with all these different chefs, 60 in total, was because I wanted to find the best recipes I could, the kind of their go-to dishes. So you have minestrone by Alice Waters, which is very simple. A lot of the work is in the chopping. Or you have, you know, Ashley Poole's beautiful macaroni and cheese, which is only 4 ingredients. So it's not the difficulty of the recipe. It's the style and the ingredients in the recipe, I think, that can make a big difference.
I want to go back to something that you just touched on, equipment, because I think that's one of the challenges is you think, oh, yeah, I can double or triple this recipe. And then you realize that the pot is overflowing or you've got 2 pots going of the same thing. And yeah, it can get a little out of hand. Because this is maybe not the type of cooking that we do more than a few times a year, what advice do you have for basic equipment that can help us do this successfully?
Well, I think equipment, what we did when we did the book was to make the book appeal to the home cook. So restaurant chefs and restaurants, they have stoves that have a higher BTU. They have big pots. But we realized that if you're asking people to make a big pot of soup, then it's going to take maybe longer to cook. So when we were creating the recipes, we often made decisions and made advice based on maybe not doing a big pot of soup, but creating 2 medium-sized pots, because then essentially you're getting a better cook and you have access to the equipment. You didn't have to get any specialty equipment. So I think if you just have a couple of large stock pots, if you have ladles, if you have basic equipment, you can do this kind of cooking. It's just about how you strategize. Also, when we were talking about big batch cooking, there are all kinds of tricks that we try to alert the reader to that you may not think of, as you were saying. For example, sometimes people don't understand when they're getting a lot of ingredients, you need a place to put them in the refrigerator. So one of the first things I advise people to do is before you cook for a big party, clean out the refrigerator. Clean it out as empty as you can because you're going to need to put someplace, you're going to need to put the ingredients somewhere before you start cooking.
And speaking of tricks for cooking for a large group, the last time I hosted a large group of people at my house, I ended up dumping a bunch of stuff into a crock pot and then just letting it sit there. And I almost felt bad about it because, you know, I have family coming over. I want to impress the family. I want to put out a really good meal. And I almost felt this weird guilt that I was serving something out of the crock pot. And I love the crock pot. I really do. But is it okay? Can we give ourselves that leeway to hit the easy button every once in a while when we're cooking for a lot of people?
Absolutely. I mean, most of what people remember, they remember the food, but most of what people remember in gatherings is the conversation. And most of what people want is they want the host to be relaxed. You know, there's something about cooking by yourself and being stressed out that by the time your guests get there, you know, you're too stressed to actually enjoy the party. So if you have a crock pot or you want to get, you know, beautiful roast chickens from your favorite market and then supplement it with something else, you know, there's many, many ways to feed a big group. It doesn't always have to be, you know, a showstopper. In the book, we have a lot of really showstopper recipes, but we also have some simple recipes that anyone can make.
And we'll definitely talk about some of those. We're talking with Leslie Jonath right now. She's the editor of Feed Your People, Big Batch, Big-Hearted Cooking, and Recipes to Gather Around. And going back to Chris and his crock pot, I would be happy to eat from your crock pot,
thank
Chris,
you.
Just so you know. you know, Leslie, you talk about your family having an annual gathering called the Latke and Vodka Party, and there's an interesting way that your family makes that doable so that you can all enjoy it at the same time at the party. Tell us about that annual party.
Well, the annual party started small, and I would ask my mother, I would tell her, I'm having the party. And she would say, I'm not doing it this year. No way. And then I would just wait a week, and she would call me and say, okay, I've made 180 latkes. When's the party? And the way that she does it is she makes batches. The recipe in the book serves 25, 30 latkes, and she'll actually make the latkes in batches and freeze them. And then she puts them between, you know, she puts them in a cooler and then brings them to my house and then bakes them off at the party so that everybody can have a beautiful hot latke, but she can enjoy it. She can serve it. She's not sitting over a pan of hot oil slaving away. It really is a great way to entertain.
So, and we should make sure people know that latkes are delicious, amazing potato pancakes.
Yes, potato. They're beautiful, crispy potato pancakes that you top with sour cream or applesauce.
And you mentioned this before, Leslie, but I want to really just kind of drive this point home. I know, I think you were like me at one point in that when you were inviting people over to the house for a dinner party or an engagement, you were the one that wanted to do all the cooking. You wanted to make sure that, you know, okay, my guests are coming. I don't want to burden them. I want to have everything ready to go. And you say, no, bring them into the kitchen. Get them involved in the process. And that's half of the fun.
Bringing people together around cooking is a wonderful way to break the ice. I found that when you invite people to cook, you're actually inviting them to the party. People talk a lot about the after party and being there after, but I like the before party. And I usually have my mom, or I have my best friends, or I have my daughter, and we do all the prep cook together. You know, for the minestrone soup I mentioned, there's a lot of chopping. And so we'll sit together, or we'll, you know, over our cutting boards, and we'll talk and we'll chop and we'll, it's really a way to be together. So sharing the work is part of the party.
One of the things that I really appreciated about your book is that when you look through it, it's clear that you've made a point of really capturing a diverse set of recipes from cultures all around the world. And what that really said to me is that this is really a universal value, bringing people together, large groups of people together to create community and eat.
The cultural, the amount of different kinds of gatherings was so amazing in that I couldn't decide. That was the hardest part of the book. There were so many interesting traditions. I could write a whole nother book, but I'm not going to because we know how much work it is. But it was such a pleasure to be working with all these different cooks and chefs. And one of the things that I thought was the most interesting was how people feed their people. So there's a whole section in the book about cooking, making small bites with people. So you can do empanadas, tamales, you can do onigiri, which is a beautiful rice ball. The Japanese make this gorgeous rice ball that with kids, where they decorate it. So cooking with your people, as I was saying with the minestrone recipe, cooking with your people is really a lovely way to bring people together in all cultures.
And I'm wondering, too, about finding inspiration for these recipes. Recently, I was at home and going through some old cookbooks, trying to actually get rid of some stuff, and found an old church cookbook that we had that had a recipe for, like, macaroni salad for 100 people, which I was just kind of blown away by. And then I thought, okay, you know, like potlucks and stuff, there's always these recipes that we kind of fall back on when we are planning for a potluck or a party. And I'm wondering, you know, where else you find this inspiration for recipes for large groups of people to mix it up a little bit.
Well, first of all, I love those church cookbooks, and I think those, and there are those kinds of recipes which, you know, to serve 100, and you can just see people gathering in a big church and having a big dinner like that. It's so wonderful. So, but again, I think a lot of it was I asked a lot of different people, what do you cook for your people? And there were some recipes that were universal in my community, whether it was paella or it was porchetta or, you know, big pasta dinner. So there's certain kinds of things that are just go-to dishes that I found to be common to a lot of people. A lot of people had those kinds of dishes which were almost childhood nostalgia dishes, comfort food. That was what a lot of people went to, or things they remembered from, you know, holidays or traditions. But I think a lot of it just is talking to people and finding out what people eat. And also just because there are so many cultures that do this. I mean, Mexican cooking, there's that carnitas in the book, which is really easy and just feeds a lot of people. So it was a real pleasure to look at different traditions.
And we are going to dig into some of those recipes in just a moment. But right now, just wanted to let everyone know we are talking with Leslie Jonath. She is the editor of the cookbook, Feed Your People, Big Batch, Big Hearted Cooking, and Recipes to Gather Arounds.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What recipes do you like to make for parties or get-togethers? Have you tried any that didn't quite work out as well as you wanted for a big group? What dish brings your friends and family together? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
We'll pick up this conversation after the short break here on Central Time. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Leslie Jonath. She is the founder and creative director of the company Connected Dots Media, and she's the editor of the book Feed Your People, Big Batch, Big Hearted Cooking, and Recipes to Gather Around.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What dishes for dinner parties and gatherings do well at your table? What memories do you have of great get-togethers with your friends and family? And what questions do you have about scaling up a recipe that you want to try out with a crowd? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. And on Facebook, Leslie, Kim and Linda both said that they love to make lasagna for a crowd, and I will say I agree with that. Linda also said spaghetti or even baked spaghetti. And one of the recipes that you gave us to share that people can find at WPR.org/Food Friday is the Pool's Diner Macaroni au Gratin from Ashley Christensen. Tell us about that dish. It sounds delicious already.
This macaroni au gratin is one of my favorites. One of the things that we did during the book was we did recipe testing dinners at 18 Reasons where we made it for 20. So we made this macaroni au gratin for 20 people, and it only has four ingredients. It has three different kinds of cheese and heavy cream, and it is beyond. And you broil it at the end so it gets this crispy top. It is so delicious and so filling that it just, it's a crowd pleaser.
And what kind of side dishes and things kind of pair well with a macaroni dish?
Well, this dish is so rich. And again, the whole thing about the book is that, you know, ideally you personally, just the host, makes one dish. And then you have your guests bring everything else. So in this case, we just recommended people get a beautiful green salad. It doesn't even have to be complex. But just a great green salad. You could, you know, have some sort of a cocktail to begin with. But I think, you know, you don't need a lot with this.
And there's a whole chapter in the book that is pasta, noodle, and rice dishes. What is it about that kind of grouping that is so well suited to cooking for a crowd?
I think the thing about pasta dishes is, number one, they're pretty inexpensive, and it really depends on your topping. So I think the thing about, they're very versatile kinds of dishes, and you can do a lot of it ahead of time. So as you mentioned, the lasagna, we have a gorgeous lasagna from Joyce Goldstein, and she teaches you how to make a bolognese sauce, which you could make, you know, a month ahead even, keep it in your freezer, and then you could use it for the lasagna, or you could use it for pasta. We also have a paella. Again, a paella is a dish which has so many different iterations. So once you learn our paella, maybe that will embolden you to try some other kinds of paella recipes.
Moving on to a different kind of cuisine, this is something that I do in my own house, is barbecue. And we heard from Chris on Facebook, who says he likes barbecue because much of it can be made ahead, a smoker can be stoked and left, and you can drink and mingle. And Leslie, you do include some barbecue in the book, and I want to talk about this recipe for root beer barbecue spare ribs from Rick Rogers. Tell us about this recipe.
Rick Rogers is a wonderful, wonderful cookbook author who's written and maybe co-written, I think, maybe 40. Rick, if you're listening, is it 40 books, 50 books? He's amazing. So Rick also has a very strong background in catering. And when I started this book, he was one of the first people I went to talk to about this particular category. Barbecue is one of the best ways to feed a crowd. You could do a whole Feed Your People about barbecue. Mm. These barbecued spare ribs are cooked on indirect heat. They're actually braised first, so you can prepare them ahead of time, and then your guests can come and you can finish them off on the grill, which means that they don't take so long, so you can enjoy your guests, have a little something to eat and drink, and then you can finish off the spare ribs and have a wonderful dinner.
What does the root beer do in the recipe? Because that's an interesting ingredient.
It flavors it. It tenderizes it a little bit, but really it gives it this lovely smoky sweetness. It's delicious.
I've been curious about that too, because I make a lot of pulled pork and other barbecue stuff in the crock pot, and I've seen recipes. Yeah, the crock pot. Judith is laughing at me. You know, and I've seen you can do it with root beer, you can do it with Dr. Pepper, you can do it with cherry cola. Leslie, are all these good options, and do you have a favorites?
Well, I mean, I'm partial to root beer myself. I think there is a tradition of Coca-Cola and different kinds of sodas for barbecue, just again because of that sweetness, the way that it combines with the meat. It just makes it really delicious.
And of course, no gathering, whether it's one person or 50 people, is complete without desserts. And you've got a lot of really tasty things to pick from. Emily Lachetti's lemon blueberry trifle looked amazing. First of all, tell us what a trifle is.
A trifle was actually dessert that was traditionally served at Christmas, and it's layers of sponge cake with cream, whipped cream, and berries. And sometimes it has a splash of alcohol, but in this recipe it doesn't. And what we did, or what actually Emily did, is she created one basic recipe and then gave variations. So in addition to the lemon blueberry trifle, she also does a strawberry one, and she also does a roasted pineapple coconut trifle. So it's one dessert format and then a couple of different iterations. But this one with the blueberries and lemon, it's actually lemon curd, is spectacular.
I should say that we have all these recipes up on WPR.org/Food Friday. And we're getting low on time, but I do want to read this comment, Leslie, from Aaron in Nina, who emailed to say, I'm originally from Lower Michigan, but my family is from the Upper Peninsula, where they lived in a mostly Finnish neighborhood. My grandparents would make pasties all the time for meals, and we would go out and do something. My mother would do the same when I was growing up. At age 40, I still see that word, and I still think of family outings and meals about Mackinac Island or Iron Mountain. Is that something that you've tried for a group gathering, Leslie?
I have not, but I think he needs to write that recipe and send it to me for volume two.
It's kind of like a Finnish empanada.
It's so beautiful. I was actually just in Sweden, and I didn't see that, but man, that sounds incredible.
You know, I want to ask you, Leslie, the title of your book, Feed Your People. who are your people? Who do you consider that kind of tribe?
You know, I think that's such a great question. There's something about just taking care of the people around you who you love. And that's, I think of it as a big group. I don't just see it as your immediate family. I think about it as all the people in your life who you want to spend time with. And I think about all the people in your life who you might want to spend time with or people you want to meet. There's no better way to meet new people or to invite people to sit around the table.
Briefly, let's go to a caller. Ingrid is with us now in Eagle River. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to relay about an idea about having a potluck that works really well. I have each person bring a particular comfort food from their past, such as meatloaf, macaroni cheese, bread pudding, scalloped potatoes, and that sort of thing, some desserts too. And it just goes over really well.
Ingrid, thank you so much for the call. How about that idea, Leslie?
Oh, I think that is just beautiful. I think comfort food is a great way to bring people together. There's actually Mary White, who lives in Maine, does an annual potluck, but everybody is given the same chicken pot pie recipe, the whole town, and everybody makes the same recipe and brings it, and then they all taste each other's versions. And I love the idea of people making food, bringing it together, and just gathering together around comfort food. I think that's a wonderful way to create community.
Well, Leslie, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciated it.
That was Leslie Jonath, creative director at Connected Dots Media and editor of the cookbook Feed Your People, Big Batch, Big-Hearted Cooking, and Recipes to Gather Around.
We do have all of those recipes that we talked about today. Those are the root beer barbecue spare ribs, the macaroni au gratin, and the lemon blueberry trifle. Not truffle, it is trifle. That's what threw me earlier. All these recipes are available at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you can continue to share the dishes that you serve for groups, tweet us at Central Time WPR or put up a post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.